I wouldn't have guessed that Pete Wentz was still alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, he's looking very different than his like Fall Out Boy heyday.
Not sure if that's good or bad, but
he's in a new phase, you know? He's a little more sun bleached, he's got like blonde hair, and he's in a man bun. He just looks like he's living, you know? looks like he's got his money and he's living. And
that tracks. Yeah. Rhett, is that you sporting like a Three Musketeers look?
You know what? Now it is.
D'Artagnan.
Oh man, that's good. I like that. Yes.
I've been sitting here stewing on that for the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yep.
Now that's all I can see.
Oh.
You fucked me up.
To be clear,
it's said with love.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's not a bad thing.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not mad. It could be worse.
Oh, for sure. It could always be worse.
Yeah.
Hey Internet. It's Press X the Podcast here. Back again in season number 7, lucky season 7. Paul, Rhett, and James here with you. Ready to talk about video games, or at least some video games, and probably at least one charity event.
That's right. You
know, we don't usually talk about that stuff, but hey, here we are. Ready to rock, ready to roll. How are you, fellas?
Hotly anticipating several things, so many things. Some things. Hotly anticipating some things, hotly enjoying some others. Hotly not very hotly at all on ones besides that. And I'm gonna stay nice and cryptic for some of it too. That's great. I'm gonna be just fucking useless for a few seconds, just to really revel in it.
I meant minimum semi confused by what you're talking about.
That's so great. That was good. The goal. I win. I did it. I took a trip to Palm Springs and it was fun. On some other company's dime. So that was dope. Yeah.
Did you prefer the palms or the springs?
You know, didn't see any springs, so I guess I gotta say I prefer the palms.
All right. Okay. Well, that's one of the two choices. Personally, I would have hoped for the springs, but
yeah.
So say more. What were you doing in the old Palm Desert?
Well, 2K is releasing a tennis game, which I played, which I can't talk about but until tomorrow. I have a preview and a video coming up, but I will tell you that I played it. And I can talk about all the events that surrounded the fact that I played this, because 2K flew me down to try out this game, and they're like, well, you know what, you should see some tennis while you're here. So there's a thing called the Desert Smash happening, and it is
a tennis event. It's not what else you might call Desert Smash.
Yeah, it's not the other thing. It's not what you're thinking of. It's a different thing.
Okay, cool.
So Charlize Theron hosted this charity event. It's not every time, just there's her charity this year, some educating and feeding South African children. So basically, a bunch of athletes get together and they play tennis, and there's auctions being held at the same time, and the booze is free so that these rich people can get drunk, and then they spend more, they bid more on whatever the items are, and so that the South African children get more, I guess, education, clean water. I think it was education. I feel a little bad for not remembering it, but it was just, it kind of sounded like...
A little hazy, maybe.
Yeah. It was just like, all I needed to know was that, like, there's people in a shitty situation who are benefiting from these rich assholes spending all their ill-gotten gains. So, really, all I needed to know. So, we hung out and got drunk while watching people play tennis, and Auctioneer is just like rattling off like crazy spiels. It's like, I've never been to a live auction before. That's a really serious skill. You know, think about it, but
like auctioneering?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was he going 500? Was it like that? Or
yeah, it's just
serious.
It's like I got a bit of 9.5. I need a bit of 10. 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 Do I have a bit of 10? It's just like walking around to the audience, like pointing to people, or like making fun of them and like singling people out. And be like, listen, you, the walking embodiment of a glass of scotch. Can you do 10,000? And he's like, it's like, if you scratch your nose with that paddle, I might consider that a bid. And they're like, ah,
yeah.
And like the matches themselves are pretty silly. You know, the athletes are just sort of having fun. Everybody's mic'd up, which like, wow, that tennis grunt. You know, the one where they're like, you hear it every single time when they're mic'd up and like everything they're saying to each other. And that got a little weird, but that was cool.
a little uncomfortable in this audience, actually.
It's pretty funny. And you would get celebrities keeping score on the sidelines. And then occasionally you get celebrities stepping in to help one of the two athletes play their fun little exhibition match.
Mm.
And, so
Johnny
personally,
McEnroe there?
No. McEnroe was not there.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
There was some really
cement without the bad boy of tennis.
I know.
Sorry.
There was some really serious. Well, there's some stars. There's a couple. There's Pete Wentz called one game and like came down and played for a bit. Gavin Rossdale called one game. I don't know if he played. We were getting sandwiches for like 40 minutes, so like I didn't see that particular part. The dude from LMFAO played for a while. He wasn't bad. There's this dude named Sam Asghari that played for a bit. I had no idea who he was. He's been on a bunch of TV shows. I was just like, wow, who's fucking Swalina Gomez, pastor of the Iron Church down there? And it's just like, oh no, it turns out that's a movie star. I'm like, oh, okay. Or a TV star, rather. I was like, all right, dope.
Did you just say Swalina Gomez?
Yeah, Swalina Gomez, pastor of the Iron Church. Just the buffest fucking dude. Just this big bronze buff dude who apparently is also an actor.
Like... Hold on while I write down Swalina Gomez as the name of this episode.
Yeah. And Charlize Theron also played herself. She was not great, but she was a very good sport about it. And we were all yelling encouragement at her whenever she actually managed to hit something back. We're like, yeah, you got it. Or like, oh, you got to commit. You can't just sort of do that half-hearted thing when you swing. You got to really go for it or else you're never going to get it.
Nice.
Yeah. Smirnoff was handing out bevies and there was this,
and visors.
Other company. Yes. And visors because of the sun and whatnot. And, Flora de Cala, some crazy name. They were serving rum, but whereas Smirnoff was serving like little tall cans of like mixed drinks, the Florida Canna guys were serving rum, just like in a glass with like a little bit of ice.
Oh, nice!
And,
the good stuff.
It was after one of those that I was like, "Excuse me, Mr. PR person, there's no food here. I feel like we should probably get food."
He was like, huh, I don't think so. Let's just keep drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of the theme of the weekend. Free booze, no food, though.
That's one approach.
Yeah.
I know you're not allowed to talk about the game, but we are, in fact, watching footage of the last Topspin game.
Yeah.
Topspin 4, which kind of holds up pretty well. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, I was checking that out too, and it yeah, it looks great. I don't know if they're going to use the engine or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't if you think like maybe they're going to use some shit from the other games or like. But it is from like 2011, but like maybe not do that so much. Unless it's like a really good engine, which again, I genuinely don't know.
Well, we'll just have to wait and find out. We'll have to
see
in your preview and the video and all that stuff.
Yeah. If assuming I can get the video finished, I just have to edit the voiceover and slap some shit together and then probably drop tomorrow morning, but the preview will definitely be ready, the written one, on cockconnected.com.
Love that website. It's my favorite. It's actually my homepage and should be everyone's homepage.
Yep.
You should reload it 500 times per hour every day for the hits and for the news updates, because you want it to be fresh. You want to see what's coming in, what's going out, what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like you should be on this channel.
Did they happen to use Infant Sorrow's African Child as the theme song for the event?
They did not.
Fuck.
I know.
Missed opportunity?
I wouldn't want that, because then what if Russell Brand or whatever his head was like there and they gave him a microphone and gave him the opportunity to talk? I would rather avoid that, actually.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He
would be a hell of a lot better than fucking Peter Wentz and the dude from LMFAO.
Peter Wentz.
Like, come on.
My understanding is that old Russ has had that. He's got that affluenza where, like, you're too rich and too powerful for too long, and nobody's told you no in too many years. And so your brain is sort of rotted a little bit inside your skull. Lots of rich people have this. It's a very serious illness. Affluenza, by the way, is the name that a piece of shit defendant used in a criminal case where some kid like got hammered and like killed somebody with their car. And it was like he was too rich to understand consequences. He had affluenza. And it's like, thanks for that word, but also.
Well, listen, I don't know who this Russell Brand guy is, but that song was written by a one Aldous Snow. I just want to clarify that.
Sure. You know what? That's fair. Sure.
Thank you.
it was a good weekend. There was a couple opportunities for free alcohol, and I took maybe more advantage of that than was healthier wise. But that's fine, you know. You only live once, and maybe it's not like, for as long.
Man, if you're not going to these events taking full advantage of the open bar, then it's like, why even go? I understand we have somewhat of a job to do, but I mean, come on.
I mean, job was super done by the time that
became
a serious problem.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That was like, good.
I feel like you're respecting the people who put the event together. If you take advantage of all the faculties they've put together,
exactly,
take full advantage of that, because somebody put their time, their effort into making that a thing. And
next time
for you,
did you have like a little fucking like laminate with, you know, your name, Cog Connected on it, something like that?
They had those. I just had one that had like 2K guest.
2K guest.
Like, yo, I'm a guest of 2K.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That, man, that's generic enough. That's anonymity.
Generic enough, exactly. I was going to say, if you did have, if they were like listing, you know, what publication you were with, next time, get stupid drunk and then make sure to write like IGN on it or GameSpot.
They believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd be so fired from that job I don't have.
But if you pick a big enough site, they'd be spending months looking for who is this James Paley guy? Do we have a James Paley?
Yeah.
They're searching high and low every mail room.
He humiliated us. Yeah.
I like it. I like this plan.
Yeah, it's a great plan. I feel concerned that maybe the months would be more like days, like a couple of days, and they track me down.
Yeah, but what is the size of the bureaucracy that's going on over there?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, there's a certain celebrity that shot and killed someone on set but isn't getting charges because he's rich. Is that all AB?
Yeah, that's Alec. It sounds like he is going to get charged because he declined to do the firearms training.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people responsible for that event. all of them deserve a little consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, it ain't 1994 anymore. You can't kill Brandon Lee and get away with it. All right. It's 2024. Alec, yeah. You need to pay, brother.
Really, really, we should have had this. That the last discussion we had about this should have been when John Landis killed two extras in a, like, helicopter stunt back in the 70s, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. For a piece of shit movie, too. Like, a really bad film.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that's one of the things I did. Paul, you've been putting more time into Rebirth.
Oh, you better believe it. That's been my main focus. My primary goal in life is to play Rebirth, and there's a lot I really like about this game. It's a lot of it that's really great. There's some things that I hate with a burning passion. And number one on that list is Chadley. Chadley.
Really?
Chadley cannot shut up. Guy has a spiel for everything, and they won't let you move while he's talking, and you gotta look at this little, I don't know, screen gun thing that he's got you carrying around. I wanted to do all the stuff in the world, but man, does Chadley ever make it a pain.
Yeah, I don't know. Chadley didn't even hit my radar. I was just like,
well, you kind of had to scream through it in a little bit. Like, you couldn't be too exhaustive, right?
I did, during my review phase, I definitely did most or all of the side quests in the first two regions.
Okay.
Before I was like, no, you fool! You have a review to finish! What are you doing?
God knows how long this thing is.
Yeah, I was just like, I can't. I want to so badly, but I can't. But I will say that after the review blitz, I did go back and do, like, basically everything. All that world intel shit that he's like,
yeah,
all of it. All of it, I did it.
Yeah. I've been doing most of it. And the stuff's pretty good. I think the world is nicely realized. There's enough going on, and it's dense enough that it's interesting to explore and run around on a chocobo. The story stuff is definitely the best. I think they've handled that really well. Voice acting's really good. The writing's not bad. And the way they're expanding on things and tying in bits of the old game and the structure of the first game and the old game, but putting their own spin as well. I think it's really charming in so many places, and they're smartly expanding on areas that were kind of glossed over previously, or kind of a short dungeon. Now they're longer sequences with more stuff going on. Yeah, I think it's really good. We definitely have to do a spoiler cast at some point, James. But
yeah,
I'm only in like chapter 6, 7. I just finished Costa del Sol.
Yeah, it's I love that section. I love all the dumb little things you have to do around town to get the beachwear. I love the beachwear. I love Cloud's reaction to seeing the girls in the beachwear. That shit was priceless.
Yes, yes.
This fucking goon just mouth open like, oh my god, really? It's like, yeah, dude.
They are, in fact, females.
Yeah.
if you're just noticing now for the first time.
You're traveling the world with a couple of 10 out of 10s, bud. A couple of hundos.
And they really nailed the Barrett and the sailor outfit. And particularly love how much Barrett loves it.
Not only is this a disguise,
I just kind of like this. I think maybe I'm going to put it back on and go to the beach.
Yeah, it's like, we could have seen him in, like, you know, skimpy little beachwear, but no, he's like, I want the full sailor outfit. I'm like, all right, buddy, you do you.
Yeah. And I was very pleased that they managed to squeeze in Red 13 wearing a Shinra outfit. awesome. Queen's Blood Tournament, excellent. The whole Junon dance sequence thing. Did manage to get the trophy, which you can get for getting over 100,000 thumbs ups on your performance. Very proud of that.
Did you, when you were in Junon, did you find the little bar off to the side? Or is it, there's a couple of spaces to run around, and there's this one little basement bar you can wander into.
Oh, and the bald dudes.
That's the fucking bald dudes.
Like, you can't.
God, it was, you so can't be good here.
You gotta prove that you're slick.
Yeah,
I got like a little handshake almost. running their hands across their bald heads.
Yeah. Oh God, that was so good.
And love the suspension of disbelief that Rude definitely does not see that that's Cloud standing there. So it is.
Yeah.
I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, very excited to see some more of the Turks. Great stuff. Great stuff. Really good game. Liking the combat even more than I was before. Really like how tactical it is. And flexible, honestly, compared to 16. I know we talked about that being way more action-oriented, a little more direct. I think this one's a little more my preference.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Both great, though. Mind is just, like, spinning at breakneck pace. Where is this going? What bits and pieces are they going to squeeze into here before the end? Yeah. Really good stuff. Oh, also Queen's Blood.
Did you beat the tournament?
I did beat the tournament.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's because so good. you could just try a match over and over again until you win. So it's like, well, obviously I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Because there's no consequences for losing. You just get to play again until you get it right. And so I was like, well, yeah, I'm just going to be really good at Queen's Blood then. What do you mean? Obviously, that's happening.
Yeah, that's just smart design. Like,
yeah,
people who are interested in winning Queen's Blood or getting to, you know, whatever the end of that quest is going to be, are the kind of people who are going to just reset the game and do it anyway. So why not just give them a mechanic where they can,
yeah,
keep trying,
just like scrap it and try again and like just get better and better. I think I played a few more games after the tournament, but the tournament kind of represented the majority of it for me just because I had to like do the review blitz.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get too much further into it, but oh, it's really good. It's a really good card game.
It really is. And most of it's tactical. I mean, there's some times that it's very luck based and just based on the cards that you draw. Like, well, I just got smoked 35-0. But most of the time, yeah, it's pretty tactical and lots of different ways to approach it, lots of ways to play it. I like the variety of cards. There are cards that boost allied cards. There are cards that boost any card that's on a space. So it could be an enemy or your own card.
Cards that like destroy other cards, cause it to take damage. Like,
yeah, and cards that have effect when another card is destroyed or another card, something happens to another card. Like, it gets pretty deep. So I'm not sure how much further that goes after the tournament, but it seems like there's at least some things going on there.
Yeah.
It's up to this point kind of been suggested that there is, in fact, some kind of dark underworld related to Queen's Blood, so I don't. Yeah, so we'll see. Very good though, top qual.
Yeah,
would recommend.
It's, yeah, no, for sure. Holy shit. Brett, I know you said that you hadn't you didn't have a lot of hot new shit to talk about, but I'm sure you've been playing things. So, like, you know, give us the deets.
Just playing a lot of Helldivers, I guess.
Well, fuck yeah, bud.
Yeah.
Cool. Have you?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Max. They got mechs now,
cool.
Right?
Yeah, they got mechs. Those are cool.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else to say that I didn't say last time.
I was gonna say it's really rad that like unlocking mechs, the player base had to work together to liberate the planet where they were being manufactured.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they wanted them so badly that I think it happened in like a day.
Real quick, yeah. Everybody swarmed to that one planet. It got them unlocked pretty quick. And what's nice about them is that so to get the stratagem to use mechs, you'd need to be level 25. But for now at least, they're giving everybody one mech per mission. So even if you're level 1, you can come in and use them right away. They've got a limited payload, so, you know, you got to kind of be strategic as to when you use them. But yeah, you can hop in and try them out, and they're pretty cool. They're slow, but they pack a wallop. And, yeah.
It's fascinating the way they're handling this thing as a live game. Mm-hmm. It's clear there's, like, a huge plan for how they're rolling this stuff out, because it's... I don't know because I haven't been playing it, but from the talk online, it feels like people were starting to see signs that there was potentially mechs and signs that maybe we can get this unlocked. And it was like crowdsourced almost. It wasn't like, you know, there was a pop-up in the games like mechs are now available. Go to this planet to unlock them.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much like everyone who's playing it is contributing to this whole campaign. It's not happening in a bubble.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember reading that they have like a single dude who's...
It's a dude. His name is Jeff.
Well, way to go, Jeff. Jeff's killing it.
Yeah, he's the DM who's like running the war, basically. Guy named Jeff, which apparently some players have like started to like include him in their curses and their praise. They're like, damn you, Jeff, you've done it again.
Mm-hmm. By Jeff, we've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a whole war going against Jeff, which is great. Although apparently they're looking to like expand the role to maybe like 2 or 3 people because Jeff not getting a ton of sleep every night.
Jeff's potentially slightly busier than Jeff thought Jeff would be.
Yeah, no shit.
I meant to ask you this last time, right? What's the name of your ship? Because that ship naming structure is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the Whisper of War.
Oh. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the bugs come see on. You coming. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. So come on by. We've got refreshments.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
They're gunpowder flavored.
Yeah.
Are you a bullets man or a lasers man or a flames man?
Bullets, but the flamethrower just got a big buff, so the flamethrower is like pretty crucial when you get to those higher difficulties for the bug planets.
Yeah,
they're pretty crucial now because a lot of the bugs come like heavily armored and you have to hit them in a specific spot. With the flamethrower, you can just fucking cook them head on and you'll take care of them. So yeah, flamethrowers are pretty good now. But yeah, definitely bullets. Lasers I haven't really fucked around with. Although I did just unlock the railgun, and that's pretty sweet. The railgun's pretty sweet.
There's not really a cooler name for a gun than railgun.
No. No, anytime I hear railgun, I automatically think back to Metal Gear Solid 2 and Fortune's big-ass railgun.
Oh, what a good game.
Fantastic.
Damn it, it's so good. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It was before its time.
Very much so. Completely predicted the future.
As it seems like Death Stranding's kind of doing the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty excited to see the second one.
Where has he been? Yeah. Does he have a time machine?
At this point, it's hard to argue against it. So
it's like a pachinko machine that you do the right sequence of movements
yeah
and it opens And inside, it's a chair.
Yeah.
It'll take you to the future.
How do pachinkos work? Is it like a fucking pinball style game or?
My understanding of Japanese gambling is you're not allowed to actively gamble. So when you play pachinko, you put money into the thing and it does stuff.
Oh.
Like you can't push bet.
Right.
I might be wrong about that. Maybe somebody in the chat knows more. It is gambling.
Yeah, it's a weird system.
Sounds just like loot boxes in games. You put money in, something pops out.
Yeah, stuff happens.
Exactly. It might be covered by the same laws.
Yeah.
All I know is that pachinko parlors are apparently some of the loudest places on earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just like 60 of those machines going at the same time. It's like, if you weren't deaf when you started, you sure will end that way.
Yeah. Coda says, I think the way they worked around it is if you put money in and you can win metal balls that you can trade in for money.
That might be what it is.
Like you're buying the balls is the loophole. Oh, okay, that makes sense. You're buying balls.
So you're not winning money. You can just exchange them for money. Got it.
Clever bastards.
Yeah.
So slick.
Yeah, that is smart.
I'll tell you what, I would play that Metal Gear Solid pachinko.
I'm sure people do.
I was talking about that on stream recently, man. Those cutscenes on the MGS3 pachinko. Dude, they look like real life.
High hope for Delta.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good, man. It's gonna be good. How could it not be?
Lots of ways, but we're not gonna talk about that. It's gonna be good.
We'll talk about those ways if and when it happens.
Yeah. But from what they've shown off, from what they've announced, it seems like they're retaining enough of the original to the point where it's like, how could it possibly be a mess? How could they fuck it up?
Konami, that's how. But
yeah,
hopefully they've been watching this whole FF7 project and taking some notes about how to handle that in a way that's both new and that people who already know the story are going to go like, yeah, I like that too. We'll see. James, what have you been playing, bud?
Unicorn Overlord.
Okay.
Here's the fucking deal.
Do you just have to like straighten up and square up to the mic to talk about this?
Yeah. So it's a VanillaWare game. Now, if you're familiar with VanillaWare, they make beautiful 2D artwork style video games like Odin Sphere and 13 Sentinels and a crazy samurai one that I never played that I would like to at some point. And this one is another great example of that, where like every character model looks awesome and is like lovingly rendered and just like super cool and stylish. But that's like 20% of the appeal of this game, in my personal opinion. It's a strategy RPG that feels a bit like Fire Emblem and a bit like Suikoden and a bit like none of those things and nothing else I've ever played in my life. Essentially, you have these... It's real-time combat where, like, you have these squads that you can send out one at a time to do battle. And the squads are made up of like individual units, like 2 to 5 is the max size, which you have to unlock through progression of the story. And every unit type interacts with every other unit type differently. So the way you organize the squads will change how battles play out. And in the way they're placed within the grid itself that makes up the squad sort of template changes it as well. And then you can also like change the priority systems for the automatic attacks, because when you get into battle, they just sort of play out automatically. But you can create squads where it's like because it'll give you a little preview of here's what's going to happen when these two people fight. And it's like, if you do it right, it's you take no damage and they take all the damage. And you can just sort of run those numbers and do these little automatic battles. And it's so goddamned fun. I fucking love it. This is a terrific strategy RPG. The story's fine. The writing's pretty good and flowery and whatnot. The translation team, the localization team did a great job. But it's very much like you're the son of a murdered queen whose kingdom has been taken over by an evil asshole. And basically your job is to, like, take back the continent and liberate all the other countries in an effort to depose this dude and, you know, take his fucking head off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, basically you run into an opponent and you have, like, an actual magical power that's like, you've been hoodwinked or hypnotized or brainwashed by the villain. So I'm just going to wave my magic ring at you and you're going to snap out of it and we're going to be friends. And that's basically how you get, like, most of your army. Yeah, it's awesome. I've run into a teeny tiny roadblock in my campaign. It's quite long, right? So I played for like 35 or 40 hours and then I had to write a review and I was maybe 30% of the way into it. I ran into a tiny roadblock because, just a fight that I could not possibly win with any of my current configurations. So I've wiped every slate. Yeah, I have like 10, you have 10 slots for squads. So I've wiped every single one clean and I'm just going to like go over all my units and make a new configuration, new combination and attack this thing. It's interesting because your levels aren't as important as your squad configuration. So if your dudes are like, seven or eight levels below the line or whatever, you can still win if you've got the right like type or whatever. It's kind of like a rock, paper, scissors system, but with like 7 to 12 more things thrown in.
Looks pretty cool. It kind of, the battling kind of reminds me of Fire Emblem a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like that a bit, except instead of being like a sort of slow, methodical turn-based thing, it's like, it all happens in a sort of like slow, inexorable real time where like their units move across the map to try and take over your shit and yours, you can send across the map to take over theirs. And like, you can just highlight your whole army and be like, all right, go attack that fucking guy. But the trouble with that is that like some of your squads will be like useless for certain fights. And what'll happen is they'll like, I'm going to run in and do this thing. And then once the two connect, you can swap somebody else who's close to take the hit for you. But if there's nobody else there, once they connect, it's like, you can't run away. We're fighting. It's fighting time, right? So like, don't just like send your shit in willy-nilly or else they'll get fucking reamed. Also, don't do what I've been doing because you can skip. Because you can watch the battles play out, or you can skip them. But if you skip them, then you are missing out on important intel about what units are doing what work and how effective they are against certain other units. So this big battle that I just got my fucking clock cleaned on last night, I was just sort of like pressing start and skipping through all the fights, and then all of a sudden, the boss is just wrecking my shit and like rezzing people, which like is actually quite difficult to do like between fights. Like, so I would like take like one person out and take like 10% of the health of a second person, and there's like three more dudes to deal with, and fucking by the time like one of my guys like recovers to like go in sequence, the first motherfucker is back alive. So I have to go in, study the fight, be like, all right, this one works with this. I need this kind of unit, you know, really do my fucking homework and beat this thing.
I like that kind of stuff, so long as it's not like some strategy RPG games where you
get to a wall, and that wall is so steep that if you've played to this point with your current strategy, you're done. You can't get over this wall.
Oh, not impossible by any means.
Yeah,
I've been playing in the laziest way possible, so I'm going to have to do a little more homework. But if you've been paying, like, any attention to how unit configurations work and, like, what works against what and, like, how these things work, basically, like, don't skip the battle sequence unless it's a fight that you know pretty well already. Or, like, where it's like, oh, I know what these units do. It's fine. I know how this goes. I know how this victory is going to go. But if it's, like, a new fight against a new opponent, just, like, let it play out. Do your fucking homework. Get your intel, you know? and like, you know, you can change the gambits. I don't know what they're actually called. I don't remember. But the gambits or whatever, you can set them properly so that they target, like, the back row or target certain classes or whoever's got the most or the least hit points. You know what I mean? Like, there's that kind of thing I could be doing. And you can also, like, instead of just, like, sending your entire army into every fight, you can just, like, highlight one dude, highlight the enemy, be like, how's this going to go? Kind of look at it, gauge it, and then kind of go from there. And it's tricky because you build up the currency, basically, that lets you summon, deploy more squads. So you can eventually get all 10 out, but at first you can drop, like, 3 or 4, depending on the fight. And then every time you win another battle, you can, like, grab another set of dudes. So, like, you have to be clever about which people you bring out. Yeah, also the way my squads were set up was, like, really stupid, where I just had, like, I'm just gonna put, like, 3 dudes on horseback in one squad, and then they'll have, like, 1 support person, or, like, 3 flying units, or, like, 3 muscular assholes with huge weapons. And it was just like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's dumb. Don't do that thing. Do a different thing. Yeah, I'm being punished for my hubris, but, like, smarter players will not run into this problem.
Got it. Yeah, this is a fine. James problem.
Yeah, this is my specific issue. And I actually enjoy the opportunity to, like, wipe everything and, like, kind of spend, like, an hour or two, like, kind of picking away. I'm like, what's this unit like? Try this one out. See how this one works, you know? Do a little science, right? Get into the lab. See how this shakes out. It's fun. It's really fun. The combat is so fucking good. It, like, it eclipses so much else, like, any other problems you might have with it. I think I only gave it an 8 out of 10 because the story is really whatever. Like, it's a vehicle to get you to more fights. Because it's just like, I'm the son of the old good ruler who's dead. I'm going to amass 100 friends and we're going to kick the emperor's ass. And it's just like, that is about as nuanced as the story gets. Like, there's lots of little interpersonal drama where it's like, oh, these people are, like, fighting, or these people are in alliance, or this person's betraying this person or whatever. And it's like, oh my God, it's just white noise. Just give me to the fights, please. Please, more battles.
Fights do look very cinematic once they get going. There's a lot going on all in a row at the same time.
It's so good.
Cool. Is this on all platforms?
Yes, I think it's on a few different platforms. I played it on PS5.
I was going to say, this feels like a PS5, PC, and Switch kind of game.
It does.
Because, you know, I Xbox.
Yeah, I should check to see if it's on Switch, because if it is, it's a great Switch title, because you can just, like, pick it up whenever. It's got that very, it's got very good pick up and play energy.
The video we're watching right now is from the Switch.
So, oh, yes. Sick! Yes, it is on then the by all means,
looks good.
Yeah, because that, like, beautiful 2D artwork translates pretty well to, like, lower tier systems.
Yeah. You said you gave it an 8 out of 10, but that's not the scale, James. So need to know what you actually thought about this game in real terms.
In real terms, it's a better than 7 for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
good. What was the name of the game?
Unicorn Overlord.
And if you want to play a game like this and pay less, you should go get Odin Sphere.
Basically, everything in the VanillaWare's catalog is pretty cool for different reasons. I think the last big one I played of theirs that I put a bunch of time into is Dragon's Crown. You know, it's the one that had like the sorceress with the gigantic tits and the barbarian that was wearing like a fucking Speedo and like nothing else.
I remember that controversy.
And you like talk to the artist because like that was around the time when like Metal Gear Solid was talking about like, oh, well, Quiet breathes through her skin or whatever. So like, you know, that's why she dresses skimpy. And then the Dragon's Crown guy was like, I like big boobs, man. What are you, crazy?
Yeah. That's just what I felt like, Tron. That's what I did.
Live your truth, man.
Like it or don't, I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah.
Cool. Looks good. I feel like I had somewhere where I was going to go. Oh, because we were talking about scantily clad characters. The demo for Stellar Blade leaked onto the PSN or something.
Yeah.
People downloaded it. They played it. And then Sony revoked the licenses, so even if you had it downloaded, it stopped working.
Nice.
But where I was going with that is that, unfortunately for myself, apparently this game is very much a Souls-like. More Souls-y than action-y. That's a severe bummer.
I will definitely check out the demo just to really put a little time, because they put so much work into this character's ass and how, you know, how it moves, how it behaves, how it interacts with the surrounding environment. They put a lot of time and effort and love and craft into this woman's shapely butt. It just feels like, take it out for a fucking test drive, right? Just, kick the tires a little bit. See how she moves,
Yeah.
I'll still play the demo for sure, but.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was a little demotivated, little dejected. There's enough Soulsy stuff. There's enough actiony stuff too, but hey.
It'll be curious to see how that balance strikes, because like sometimes those games, it's they were just like, well, we want to do a different, more interesting combat, but we'll make concessions otherwise so that it's more approachable. And some developers are like, no, fuck you, I want to make the hardest game on earth for reasons, I guess, because they misunderstood what From Software does, like almost every developer does.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's cooler and chill on the Soul's End.
Trip is suddenly catching up to James. A little mid-evening Betty by time for James.
He does look a little glazed.
Listen, I've been talking a lot. I've been working a lot. I've been putting that preview together, and what else? Oh, I've been slowly playing through the first six Final Fantasy games, and I beat the first two without any trouble. And then I ran into a tiny bit of a wall with the third one, because like the pixel remaster versions, you can just like skip battles. Basically, you can turn encounters off. Don't do that in number three. You can't just do that in number three, because it turns out you start running into fights where like every random enemy does like 2/3 of any given character's health worth of damage in a single strike, and it's just, oh, I made a teeny tiny mistake.
Yeah, that game is hard. I remember when it came out on the DS, that being the first exposure for a lot of people to FF3, and just going, my God, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah. The DS version, I think I like a little better because they revamped the job system. So it's more fleshed out. And that's how I was able to beat the DS version so handily, because I just loved maxing out job levels. I was just obsessively played to do that. And so by the time I got to the final boss fight, it was just like four invincible killing machines against some fucking chump. but not so in the NES version, at least not so far. So I'm going to have to like do a little strategic planning, figure out how to overcome my... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm like level 24 and I am like maybe... two or three dungeons away from the end of the game. And that is, those two facts do not line up in any way mechanically. Like every fight is a fight for my life. So I have to double back and like figure some shit out.
I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be A-okay. Cool. What else has been going on out there in the world? I know, Dragon's Dogma 2, they had a demo or something, or
yeah,
they put the character creator out.
The character creator, so people were fucking with it. I might check that out, like just grab it and see what it's all about, because people were doing some wild shit. And
yeah, I got a video for that. This is Todd Howard.
Nice.
Pixel perfect.
Looks so good.
Yeah, there's been some abominations that have been posted.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be a good time if you min-max those sliders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a phase when it comes to my character creation where I've decided I need to be playing huge dudes. Just like the biggest, give me the biggest dudes. I want to make the biggest fucking dude I possibly can. You know, and just like send him out into the world.
There's a slider in this character creator that changes your stature, like how your character walks, and you can go from like hunched over gremlin to like leaned back full Chad mode.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the Chad slider.
Yeah.
Can't
wait.
Yeah, God.
But apparently this game's pretty good. I don't know if we have a preview of it, but the previews I've seen of it are like, this game is really fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was money. This one looks better in all ways, in all aspects.
I think the Horizon Zero Dawn curse continues, because I think some version of that game or something from the franchise is releasing on the same day as Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah, it's
so people are like,
Forbidden West,
oh my gosh.
So,
yeah, so they're like, so does that mean that Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to be Game of the Year material because it's coming out the same day as Horizon?
This video has like 50 examples of cat people that you can make, so
yeah.
It might be Game of the Year.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna buy it. Yeah.
I need another like 100-hour adventure, like I need a hole in the head, but well, who could say no to this caliber of character creator?
Yeah, I this is an opportunity for me to make the hugest dude yet and just kick him out into the surf and like,
Can you define huge dude? Are we talking height, width?
Both. Ideally. But take the height slider to max. Mm-hmm. Make him super wide, give him gigantic arms and legs. Maybe a beard. Maybe not. Really depends on the character creator, but you know, because I feel like a beard sort of like spiritually enhances the hugeness, if not physically. And so like basically making like a big honking like a bridge troll kind of thing, you know.
You can make that, man. You can for sure make that.
Yeah.
this video is something special. Truly. Any other news that's out there? I have not been paying attention the last week.
See, my feed has been all sucked up with the Oscars, which whatever. But the news that has taken over my life in the last few days is that Akira Toriyama passed away. And for those of you who don't know, that's the dude behind Dragon Ball and who did the artwork, all of the art for the Dragon Quest games, and who did the art for Chrono Trigger, and who did the art for Blue Dragon, and he had like another series called like Sand, I think.
Toriyama is the source of pretty much every spiky-haired character that you've ever seen.
Yes.
They're all based on his art.
So many, there's people have been coming out being like, hey, you know the like the Mario 3 like raccoon power up where he has like the little tail and the ears, directly inspired by a Toriyama character. Yeah, there's like images like and the people were like, oh yeah, no, we based this off him. And like who was it? Cloud has that purple outfit in the original version of Final Fantasy VII, which is it. That's just Trunks. That's Trunks.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And like fucking apparently there was like parades and like massive tributes happening all over the global south. Like there was like Mexican gang wars that took a little bit of a break to, in order to properly mourn the passing of Akira Toriyama. There was like a stat where like gang activity in Mexico literally went down whenever a new episode of that show aired, because that's how fucking popular he was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Toriyama-san, rest in peace. At least we still have Miyazaki, who won an Oscar yesterday.
He did. And fucking Godzilla won an Oscar. Godzilla Minus One won an Oscar for best special effects. And in my opinion, absolutely deserved it. That movie was fucking incredible.
I saw somebody post that it's the first time in history a movie and its direct sequel both won an Oscar in the same year. That being Oppenheimer and Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
It's a good joke. I like it.
Yeah, I saw both movies. I might have liked Godzilla Minus One more.
Oppenheimer's good. It's pretty slow, though.
Oh, I fucking love well, Chris
what,
Nolan
what, films. What, you thought it would have been better with a couple car chases? More
no,
explosions?
It was just padded in a few places, and I was like, why is this in here?
A Mission Impossible motorcycle-style chase?
Yes.
Maybe at the end?
Maybe yeah, like sure. 20 minutes less of fucking government hearings. How about that? How about just a few less government hearings.
Tighten her up a little bit.
Once the bomb goes off, you're like, okay, so this is over, right?
No.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah. You're wrong. Great movie. Amazing movie.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved watching it in theaters. I found it very moving, very powerful, very well done. I do think I had a more powerful moving time watching Godzilla Minus One.
Haven't seen it yet, but apparently I've got to
see. No, I didn't even know this was a thing.
One of my movies of the decade, I'm gonna be honest.
Is it live action?
Yes.
Who's in it?
Godzilla.
A bunch of Japanese
Godzilla.
People, and also Godzilla.
Oh, a bunch of Japanese people. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. It's like definitely one of my favorite movies I've seen in the last 10 years.
Didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah. It's like a prequel. It takes place way in like the end of World War II.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'll check that out. I could illegally stream that.
Yeah. I between that and Shin Godzilla, good era. Good era for Godzilla, man. Yeah, Shin Godzilla was the one that came out in 2016, directed by the dude who did Evangelion. And a lot of the runtime is meetings and meeting rooms, and I fucking loved it. I was a little baked, and I had an amazing time.
I got high hopes for that Godzilla versus Kong movie. I get major Pacific Rim vibes.
Oh my god.
Could be like the best giant monster buddy cop movie of all time.
Yeah, just that shot of the two of them like running with like menacing purpose towards the camera.
Dude.
So good. Oh, shit.
That's a good segue, Godzilla, though. Yeah, go ahead.
Godzilla, we just got a comment. Godzilla deserved that Oscar. He's been putting in work for years. So like Godzilla deserved best actor?
I mean,
easily,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, the people, the crew from the movie that went to the Academy Awards, they had like shoes that had like the Godzilla claw around the heel.
Oh, sick.
And they all brought little Godzilla figures with them.
That tracks. That tracks.
Yeah.
But I saw that Godzilla versus Kong trailer at Dune 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know if you guys have seen it.
No.
I'm going to see it this Friday. I reread the novel in anticipation.
It's very good. I liked it a lot better than the first one. First one, very well done. Nicely shot. Good acting. A lot of setup, though.
Yeah.
A lot of background information. It comes to fruition in Dune 2.
And what are these movies about? Sand?
Sand, yeah.
Magic space cocaine.
Magic space cocaine?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
is there any sand in them?
The whole movie, planet, dude, is sand. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So what the there fuck? Is some.
How can you call your movie Dune and not have sand in it?
Yeah. That'd be silly. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Spice. Yes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Spice?
Yeah.
Spice is, yeah, nice, I never saw, baby.
I don't think I ever saw the first one, clearly.
It's good. It's a good film.
Yeah. It's old, right?
Well, there's the 1984 Dune that David Lynch did.
Right. That's, yeah.
Skip that one.
Which is kind of a hot mess. There's Dune 2000, the miniseries, which, again, skip that, kind of a hot mess. And then Denis Villeneuve did Dune Part 1 in 2021, I think?
Yeah, I think that's right. This one's out now. They're clearly setting it up as a trilogy, because it's like two-thirds of the first book? Something like that. Up to this point. Yeah. Really good. Very visually stunning. Timothy Chalamet is very good. I'm surprised with the voice that comes out of that little dude. Yeah. He's not a big guy, but he can growl.
Yeah. Having just reread the novel, I'm extra, extra curious and extra excited for this movie. Also, having reread the novel, I am fucking shocked at anybody who has the audacity to try to adapt this into visual medium. Like, there's so much that just has to get left on the cutting room floor in order to make it any sort of palatable length.
This one is, I think it was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's long, but not like Lord of the Rings long.
Mm.
Yeah.
We all know how awful those movies were.
Trash. They don't hold up.
No. No.
I can't. I love those movies.
Yeah, I did a I've done two rewatches in the last calendar year. I did one over the course of like 4 days with my wife, and I did one over the course of 14 hours with my best friend.
Tried to watch them once and I fell asleep.
Hey, that's enough for everybody.
You might not like Dune then, bud.
No.
Oh, you might.
Yeah. I mean, space cocaine. That sounds cool. There was no space cocaine in Lord of the Rings.
They had mushrooms.
Yeah, but that's not space cocaine.
It's true.
Dude, mushrooms are not, I don't know about cocaine. That. They claimed that there were talking trees. So you tell me if there were drugs involved.
Well, I'm not saying there weren't drugs involved. I'm just saying it sounds like there are better drugs in Dune.
Yeah, okay, there's better drugs involved in Dune.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and well, I mean, the whole thing is about the production of the space cocaine. But the space cocaine just kind of floats around in the air, so everybody, everybody's doing it. It's the cool thing
you kind of start doing the space cocaine as soon as you touch down.
Nice.
And also, also you kind of can't stop doing the space cocaine once you start.
See, this sounds way better than Lord of the Rings. This is, I'm going to have to go check this out.
Dave Bautista's in it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, BT Dubs. Walken? Everybody is in these movies.
Yeah,
It's a good cast. Javier Bardem.
Wow, really? Okay, I'm going to watch these.
Actually played as comic relief a little bit in the second movie, and it fucking works.
Yeah. Yeah. What is this comment? Coda says everyone wants to fuck the popcorn bucket too.
Oh yeah, just look up Dune 2 popcorn bucket.
What is this? Okay, I'm gonna look this up right now.
You're immediately gonna know what is meant.
Oh god, wait, Dune 2 got the girl from Last of Us? Last of Us 2?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What? Yeah. Jack says, so they got the girl from Last of Us. Oh! Yeah, because Dave Bautista played Abby, right?
got it. I see what you're on. Yeah,
yeah. That's fun stuff. Okay, Dune 2. Yeah, popcorn bucket. It's one of the top Google searches.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on. People want to stick their dick in that.
Oh. I mean...
let's just say people are going popcorn That's bucket, horrible. Hold the popcorn, extra butter.
That's horrible.
It's a shitty popcorn bucket too, because like the little phalanges, right? The tendrils, the filaments.
Phalanges?
You try to stick your hand in there for the popcorn, you pull your hand out, and then the little phalanges grab bits of popcorn, and you're just like, well, fuck. And then the grease gets trapped on the phalanges, so now your whole fist is just covered in this shit, and it just feels like, it feels like a sexual act even if no sex is involved, right? Where it's just like, it's like, I am gently at a medium pace fucking this bucket of popcorn with my fist. I don't want to, but there's no other way to get the popcorn.
Coda says people have stuck their dick in it, so I'm assuming, Coda, you have American pied this bucket of popcorn. And then Decade also says you def need extra butter. Oh, yeah, I bet.
for that glide, you know?
I was going to say, like, there's got to be videos of this out there, but I'm like, I don't think you could post those.
I know, right? Like, where are you finding this? Coda, where are you finding these videos?
I think it's just lore.
Come on.
It's just lore. I know. Yeah, it's just lore, dude. Like, you can't believe everything you read, bro.
You just have to. You know, though.
Reddit. Yeah. Now, if you have a link to a video.
Conversely, Rhett, I'm sure if you do a little looking, maybe in incognito mode, you can definitely find somebody going to town on this bucket.
Yeah.
And this absolute marketing brilliance. Because this movie was going to make bank regardless.
Right.
But whoever thought up this popcorn bucket, golf clap. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were getting people's hands into.
I disagree. I think this is an abomination.
It's just happenstance that they decided to put a wormhole on the top of a popcorn bucket.
Yeah, exactly. It's an abomination.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone, I'm the weird one here. Yeah. Fuck me, right? Yep. Right, you don't want me to DM you a video of someone fucking a popcorn bucket. You know what? I really don't. I really don't.
I don't know, man. You're backpedaling here, but you seem pretty interested in about 20 seconds ago.
If people want to do this sort of thing with their movie accessories, then they're allowed. I mean, at least look at it this way, Rhett.
Mm-hmm.
The odds of this going inside of anybody are pretty low. Inside. Not a lot of people are going to go to the hospital. See, this is something you stick your dick in. This isn't something that you stick inside of you, you know? Right. So in a way, it's a safer, more responsible marketing gimmick.
I mean, I guess. I guess. I mean, listen, man, whatever helps you sleep better at night. I know you were laying awake last night thinking to yourself, damn, should I really have banged this popcorn bucket? What kind of man am I now? Can I really look myself in the mirror moving forward?
To be clear, I would never purchase this thing. It's
bullshit.
I
know you have three of them. You bought one to eat popcorn out of, you bought one to fuck, and you bought one to display on that shelf behind you. I know you did.
Just watch. One of these weeks, it's just going to appear on the shelf behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. We better have that on your shelf. Because
they're only selling it at AMC, but like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it fails in its basic mandate as a popcorn bucket. Like it can't do that simple thing. So no, forget it. Yeah. I'm not investing time or energy into this thing.
Yeah.
I will make jokes about people going to the bone zone, express ticket, you know.
Right.
No returns.
I mean, make no mistake. This is a social media click generator masquerading as a popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with this thing was like, people are going to be so mortified and mystified by this device that we have created. They're going to have no choice but to click and click repeatedly and buy tickets to Dune over and over and over again, hoping to get a glimpse of the popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
There's going to be an uptick in popcorn kernel urethra removal surgeries over the across the United States. Coda, you're in the medical field. Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that statistic for me. If you have even one person show up to the ER because they have popcorn up their pee hole, let me know. Let me know.
It's like a kidney stone. Yeah, goes in the wrong way.
Reverse kidney stones. Who would have thought?
Yeah, that's great.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. We had a guy come in with a broke dick recently. Well, was he fucking the bucket? Was he watching Dune? Answer that later.
Yeah. Don't answer. We don't.
Yeah.
No, I. You know. Listen, people out there, their discs get broke. It happens.
It's a serious medical condition.
So obviously we're all various degrees of excited for Dragon's Dogma 2. Is there anything else coming up that we're like?
Aren't we on like the cusp of Rise of the Ronin?
That's for me is a very much a wait and see title.
Yeah.
Where like it looks cool, but like I don't know enough about it to form an opinion. So I'm kind of going to wait for like the release and then the sort of organic buzz to build around it, if any does, and then kind of make my decision from there. Also, because it's a Team Ninja game and or Ninja Theory. It's one of those. It's one of the Ninja companies. One of the Ninja companies makes it. And
Rise of the Ronin blends Team Ninja's combat with open world freedom.
Cool. I'm never playing this game.
Rise of the Ronin sits somewhere between Assassin's Creed and Neo. A hard pass.
Yeah, hardest possible pass, but y'all have fun.
Really want that No Rest for the Wicked, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that looks...
A Moon Studio.
That looks dope. That, see, that to me, that's another one where I'm like, okay, tell me more about this. Show me what it's all about. I'll see some gameplay clips show up on Twitter and then like, hey, you know, maybe check that shit out. But like...
yeah.
April 18th for that one.
Yes.
All right, dope.
Fuck. About a month away. I cannot wait for that. Maybe I'll even get to review it.
We'll see, man.
Probably not.
Oh, maybe.
But probably not.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is like a... Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a Hades thing going on.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay with
that. Come on. From the developers of the two Ori games, like, I got complete faith in them. They're going to drop a banger with this one.
I'll be waiting to hear the soundtrack.
Oh,
they nailed that too.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably going to do it for this episode.
Yeah.
Everyone keep your eyes peeled for the popcorn bucket. Bring your news, bring your reviews of the popcorn bucket to our next podcast. I would appreciate that. Rhett wants it on the show, in his life. ASAP, really. So
right.
Just remember that. Those are his words, ASAP, not mine.
ASAP.
If not sooner.
Listen, man. I feel like my life has gotten significantly worse now that I'm aware of this popcorn bucket. All right. There was a Rhett before this podcast began, and now there's a Rhett after this podcast will end. And they're not the same person. They're really not the same. Press X to fuck the bucket, Coda says. Perfect. And just circling back real quick on Coda's story about the man with the broken penis. He says that it was due to him re-entering his mistress at Mach 5. So, you know, you got to be careful out there, fellas. You got to be careful out there.
Yeah, hit those retro rockets. Don't go in too hot or else, you know.
Yeah.
You end up with the dick splint.
Yeah.
Precision first.
Yeah.
Speed second.
Speed and power later. Precision first.
I'm a virgin. I wouldn't know.
All right. That's going to do it for this podcast. We'll leave you on that note. Let's just, we all just noodle on that one for the next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for chatting. It's been fun. We're Paul, Rhett, and James, the Press X podcast crew. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next time. We can probably talk about more games then.
Oh, yeah, there'll be more shit.
Definitely more stuff. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you right back here next time for Press X the podcast.